Well, what about this idea about who is it that gets to go to heaven? I remember when Phyllis and I were on our way to Pahrump. It's up in Nevada. It's over on the west side of the mountains from where Las Vegas is located. We had done some work at a camp up there, one of our Methodist camps called Potosi Pines. So we knew where that camp was, and we were meeting some nomads up there in Pahrump. So we were stopped there at Searchlight. We had our truck and our RV, and we were filling up with gas, and I asked one of the other people that were staying there filling up their vehicle with gasoline. I said, is there an easier way to Pahrump, a shorter way? And why, they said, why, yes. Then 95 here that's going to the north, why, yes. You need to take this Highway 164 here. It goes off to the west, and you'll see that'll go through Sandy Valley. And there you'll find a real shortcut to Pahrump. I said, oh, that's great. And I got in the truck, and I told Phyllis, this fella just knows what's going on around here. He knows his directions very well. And I said, this will be great. We'll go up through Sandy Valley. So we headed down this Highway 164, and it's kind of a narrow road. And so we finally got to Sandy Valley. It took us a lot longer than I thought it might. And when we got there, there wasn't anything there. I mean, it was really kind of vacated. And I looked for some signs about the way to Pahrump. Well, there wasn't a sign anywhere. So, and the only thing in Sandy Valley was a couple of beer bars. Well, I told Phyllis, now wait here in the truck, and I'm going to go in this beer bar and ask him the way to Pahrump. So I went in there. And sitting around the bar were all these ladies. I mean, they were big ladies. I thought, whoa, I better use my words carefully. If one of those ladies come off of that stool headed towards me, man, I just might as well count my blessings. It's all over now. So I tried to use my word. Ladies, I'm looking for the way to Pahrump. Perhaps you can tell me. I can't find any signs. Well, they said, sure, it's right out there where your park, this road goes to Pahrump. You'll see that if you head down this road, why, you'll get there before too long. Well, it was about an hour and a half later. Just 11-mile road. It was like a washboard. We broke every dish in our RV. Well, I'm not going that way again ever. So sometimes we think we have it all clear in our mind. We take the advice of somebody and we go that way. But we fail to get out the map. I knew. I was waiting for Phyllis to say, now, why didn't you get out the map? Well, we need to get out and we need to read the book. We need to see what it says about such things and about how we get there or how we get here. Jesus said, well, there are two doors. There's a wide gate, that's easy. And yet, there's the narrow gate, and that's not so easy. But he says, I want you to focus on the narrow gate because it isn't easy. But I call you and I promise to be with you. Where you are, I am. And I want you to call on me. Well, we have a hard time with that sometimes. I remember growing up on a farm. We had a little farm in Riverside, California. And I was just a young boy at the time, but I joined the 4-H club, and I was going to get some animals, raise some animals. So I got a couple of pigs to raise, just a couple of little pigs. I thought, well, this would be easy to raise. Well, not telling you farmers anything, but these pigs grew up very fast. And they were big enough I could take them to the fair. And so the county fair was coming up, and I had to pick out one of these pigs to take to the fair. So I thought, well, this would be pretty easy. Just load them in a truck and take them to the fair. So we got a truck, and I started to try to get this pig in the truck. And it had a ramp on it, and there wasn't any way. My dad and I tried it. Well, we had to get another fella to come and help us. Three of us got this pig finally in the truck. I mean, that pig wanted to do anything except get in the truck. It must have known where it was going. Probably somewhere else. But anyway, finally got it. It was kind of like the wide road. You know, this pig wanted its own freedom, wanted to do what it wanted to do. But anyway, we got to the fair. The fair was held over in Indio there. No, I think it was held in Hemet, California. So it came time for the judging contest. And we had the showmanship. Well, when you lead a pig, you have to lead him with a cane. And you bop him on the nose. Which way do you don't want him to go? If you want him to turn left, you bop him on the right side of the nose. And he's supposed to make a left-hand turn and go that way. And, you know, just that easy. So they had about 14 pigs in this big arena. And the judge was there. And so all of us were 4-H'ers were marching our pigs in there, and we had our canes, and something happened. I have no idea to this day what happened to that pig, but it had a mind. It figured out what was going on, and so I got in there, and I tapped him on the right, and boy, he turned, started walking. I tapped him the other way, and he turned, and I thought, what in the world has happened here? This pig is doing everything right. And the judge came over to me and he said, "Son, I see you've been working long hours with this pig." I didn't say a thing. But anyway, I got first place in the showmanship contest with that pig. And I hated to see what I eventually did with that pig. But the narrow gate was something I could kind of put together on the way that this pig responded when it was at the fair. It was something to behold, and I thought, this is kind of like what Jesus is talking about, the way that we should go. I remember growing up in the church, why my stepmom would take us three kids to church, and at a young age I learned about the things of God, but I didn't understand grace so much as I did the law, the rules, the things that you were supposed to do. And if you didn't do, you better look out. You may not be headed in the right way. So I remember that whenever I was tempted, why, you know, God is here, right here where you are. I kept thinking about that, and oh my goodness, that would bother me. And I kept praying about that. Oh, Lord, couldn't you take a vacation once in a while? Well, not only two doors, but two destinations. I mean, there's the broad way that leads to destruction, and then there's the narrow way that leads to life. Well, one of you here in the church suggested a book to me to read this a couple weeks ago. It was just marvelous. It was Charles Swindoll's book on Abraham. And One Nomad, Amazing Journey of Faith was the subtitle of that book. Well, I remember Charles Swindoll. He had a church the EV Free Church over in Fullerton, over in California. And I was just down the road on Imperial Highway there at the United Methodist Church in Yorba Linda. So I knew where he was preaching. And so when I was reading this book, I felt almost like neighbors with him. Of course, he's over in Texas now. But Abraham had some problems in his own life. He had the difficulty of lying. And he passed on this bad habit that he had to his son, Isaac. And Isaac passed on this bad habit to his son, Jacob. You remember what happened with Jacob and Esau. Why, we remember how Jacob lied to his father about who he was and that sort of thing. But as with Abraham, why, when he was under pressure, he always resorted to this behavior of just telling a lie so you can get out of whatever frustration or difficulty that you might be in. Well, as we think about these things, God doesn't want us to act in these ways. In fact, if we're his person, he wants us to be holy, even as he is holy. And yet, how is it that we can be holy when we are a sinful people, when we do things kind of like our humanity just seems to have its way in our life? Well, God wants us to be his person. And I think it's as we grow closer to him, we realize the importance of that. We see that he's there to strengthen us when those things come. And I like the way that Charles Swindoll pointed out in this book of how we can do that. He says, stop setting ourselves up to failure. He says, if you're an alcoholic or have this problem, don't live in an apartment above a beer bar. That makes sense. Stay away from even the smell of alcohol. Well, if, for example, you're giving up to lust, put a lock on your computer that your websites would be protected, that you would not be able to get in those areas. Avoid the internet when you're angry or when you're hungry or when you're upset or when you have a tendency to turn to those kinds of things. Same is true if you make these crutches that we have. We kind of make up excuses. We want to get rid of these crutches, but instead we make excuses and we admit that we are weak, and then we fall to those things. We need to repent of our sins. We need to claim God's forgiveness. And we need to ask for strength. We need to get beyond it. Well, this book has some great thoughts and inspiration, and I'm so glad for reading it.
There's a story about George and Mildred were 85, and they had a horrible automobile accident. Anyway, they went to heaven. They're there at the gates of heaven. They're a Christian couple. They had always attempted to live their life on the straight and narrow. And so St. Peter greeted them at the gate and said, "Come on in. We have a place all ready for you folks." Sure enough, there was a nice house there they had. And St. Peter says, "I want to show you in. I want to show you some of these beautiful things we have here for you." And oh my goodness, it was just amazing. Why, George had no idea that there were these places in heaven. And so they were talking about it, and St. Peter says, "Whoa, that's nothing. Come outside here." George went outside. There was a pro golf course out there. No green fees. And St. Peter says, "Now, we change this golf course every week. We bring in another first class golf course here that would match one of the first class golf courses in the world. Well, my, that was nice, said Jordan. Now, St. Peter said, well, wait till we go down to the clubhouse. And so they did, and they found there that the best foods in the world, and there was all stretched out. And George says, now, to Mildred, says, oh, Mildred, look at this. Isn't this something? This is going to be awfully tempting. And they said to St. Peter, now, where is the dietetic area, the area that have all the fruits and vegetables? And St. Peter said, why, you don't have to worry about that anymore. You can eat as much as you want and not gain a pound. How many are ready to go? Wow, I never thought of that. Man, that is something. So anyway, Georgie, then he got kind of upset. He says, Mildred, he said, I am really upset. You know all those doggone smoothies you fixed me, those vegetable fruit smoothies and those bran muffins you kept fixing. Had you have forgotten about those, we would have been here years ago. I don't know what we're going to do. Well, I was a dean of a junior high camp many, many years ago, and it took me all year to kind of think about what is it that we can plan for these kids. And so we got a theme. It was Happiness Is to Know the Savior. It's a song written by Ira Stanhill, a magnificent song that it's kind of a praise song, I guess you'd call it. And so we based our theme around that song, and we had a marvelous time at that camp. I want to try and let you, I'm going to try and sing part of this hymn. The song goes like this. These words are really something. This Ira Stanhill was an evangelist and a pastor. He lived back in the generation before mine, but a great songwriter. And this is the way this song goes. Happiness is to know the Savior living alive within his favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is a new creation, Jesus and me in close relation, having a part in his salvation. Happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine, no matter if the teardrops start. I found the secret, it's Jesus in my heart. Happiness is to be forgiven, living a life that's worth the living, taking a trip that leads to heaven. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is the Lord. So you guys know that. I sing that when I can sing. But happiness is indeed the Lord. And I think when, to sum this up, we need to know that living closer to God is inviting him over and over again. Lord, forgive me my sin. My hope, my prayer is that you live in me. It says in Philippians, Christ in you, the hope of God.
of glory. The hope of glory. The hope of all those who have gone before us. All the angels in heaven, and especially God our Creator, is to have Christ in us. Praise be to God.